Health ministers from non-aligned countries met in Johannesburg this week. A major item on the agenda was how developing countries can gain access to medicines to fight diseases like AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis. The non-aligned movement, whose members are mainly from the developing world, was created 40 years ago at the height of the Cold War. Geopolitics have changed since then, but many of these countries feel that in the global economy, powerful economic forces like the drug industry still pit the haves against the have-nots. NPR's Brenda Wilson reports.
The health ministers from 33 countries met at the convention center in Sandton, Johannesburg's new financial district, a complex of office buildings, shopping centers, restaurants, and towering five-star hotels that is as disconnected from the vast majority of South Africa's poor as many non-aligned nations feel from the global economy. And that disconnection has found its expression in the tug of war with the drug industry. By the end of the meeting, most had signed a declaration saying they should be able to exercise whatever options available to them to obtain affordable, life-saving, and essential medicines. That includes being able to manufacture and import cheaper brand-named and generic drugs. A South African law that would allow the health minister to do just that is being challenged by major drug companies in the courts here. Swaziland's health minister, Dr. Patsile Dlamini, read from a resolution condemning the suit.
Recognizing that this action is more than just an action against South Africa, but is indeed an action against all African countries and other developing countries. Further recognizing this action is also against fundamental values of equity and solidarity among nations.
This resolution was endorsed unanimously by the delegates, who see the suit as an implied threat to all of them, which is why offers from Merck, Bristol-Myers Squibb, and most recently Abbott Laboratories to trim, lower, cut costs, and even to donate AIDS drugs are viewed suspiciously. Dlamini says all too often the industry tries to weaken bargaining power by cutting separate deals with different countries.
We would like to know whatever offer, is it really affordable? When you say, for instance, the prices of drugs have been dropped by 95%, to what? For how long? Or is it just an offer for 5 years, people get dependent on that and stops, leaves it in mid-air, and the governments become the target of their own populations because in the first place they never had the money.
The countries say they want to function as a bloc, but in reality they take distinctly different approaches to the industry. In Botswana, right next door to South Africa, it's estimated that more than a third of the population is infected. Though Botswana is often critical of the industry often offers it as a good example that, in contrast to South Africa, is working with them to provide antiretrovirals for its people. And India already has companies undercutting brand-name companies by producing cheaper generic versions of AIDS drugs. But the government can't afford to buy them for the nearly 4 million Indians infected with HIV. The sheer scale of the problem, India's health minister, Dr. Chandreshwar Thakur, says, calls for special assistance from developed countries and international organizations to provide aid to the poorest countries.
There should be an international pool of funds. So in that way, in one way, it will avoid the confrontation of and the court cases, etc. They can negotiate with the manufacturing companies, those who manufacture antiretroviral drug, and they can bring down the price, and then they can supply to the affected country.
The current thinking is that the World Health Organization would manage the funds. The arrangement would not preclude countries from manufacturing their own drugs or negotiating individually with the industry. The big question right now is not if there is a way to get cheaper drugs to poor countries, but when and how. Brenda Wilson, NPR News, Johannesburg.